Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Andy Masawa, the producer of the Dale and Keefe show. I'm friends with Rich Keefe, as I'm sure Adam Jones is as well. I think he might be behind some of these accounts.
This is a candidate?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
History. Do you agree or disagree?
There's a history there for sure. Yeah.
Andy Masawa is his name? I'll have to do some digging. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. This is brought to you by GE. GE is creating game-changing solutions and advanced analytics for peak performance on the parquet. GE, the exclusive data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. Danny Ainge, hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
Now, I've been told that you listen to the Adam Jones show.
Listened once.
I don't know if I have. I mean, I certainly have listened to him before, yeah.
Now, he's here. So it's a dream come true
for both of you. It's a big day.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Danny.
Rich is gone. Rich is now in the desert with his family. And right here, your favorite radio personality, Adam Jones, is on the microphone.
All right.
There you go.
That's a big day.
All right. Let's talk about injuries. Brad Stevens was on with Zolak and Bertrand yesterday, and he talked about Marcus Smart, and he said there's a chance that he's done for the season. Is that what is your thinking on that?
Yeah, I think that there's a chance he plays and a chance he's done. I mean, we're all waiting to figure out what that's going to be. And he's in New York today, getting another opinion, hand specialist there. And I guess we'll all talk over the next few days, give it a week to sort of heal or at least calm down the injury to see if he can tape it and play or if it's something that needs surgery.
All right, Danny, obviously Smart's not the only one that's out. You're resting people. Al Horford is sick. But with that comes opportunity for other guys, and we had a very good opportunity to see that last night. A great effort by Marcus Morris. You saw his versatility on offense. And Jason Tatum, the steps that he's had to take during the season, obviously he didn't think he was going to start. He started at the beginning of the year, and last night was really a learning experience for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you saw all the good and the bad of 19-year-old kids playing in the NBA. I mean, Jason made some mistakes, but he had some great moments and has a wonderful, wonderful upside. And he's mentally tough, and he's very versatile in a lot of things. His length makes a difference on defense. He rebounds the ball. And it was a fun game for any of us to watch the development of all those guys that don't get a chance to play as much as and have as big a role down the stretch of big games.
The trade to acquire Kyrie Irving, there was a lot made over the health of Isaiah Thomas in that trade. It got extended longer than I guess any of us expected it to before ultimately going through. Kyrie's medicals were discussed less by us in the media. I'm sure they were discussed by you guys quite a bit. How concerning was the knee and the issue that he's had previously, the injury that he's had previously in acquiring Kyrie?
Yeah, so there was a lot of discussion, and that was a big part of it going forward too. Was Kyrie had the injury? I don't know, 2.5 years ago now, 3 years ago, and so we knew that there would be maintenance issues, but his long-term prognostication is good. He's going to have some maintenance issues here and there. We knew coming into this year that he probably wasn't going to be an 82-game guy. He was going to be, a 72 to 75-game guy and be, and in order to keep him fresh for the playoffs, and that's what it's been. And we're just extra cautious. We have the good fortune of being extra cautious right now. And We want him fresh and healthy, and we think that he will be come playoff time.
It's been reported that he's going to need some cleanup in that knee, that he even told Cleveland maybe he would take that surgery earlier than the off season. Is that something that he's going to need?
So he has some a surgery that may need to happen, but maybe not this summer, maybe the following summer, or maybe the summer after that. I mean, it's just, but I think that he could probably do it anytime he wanted, but I'm not sure that it's needed at this moment.
How long, when you say you want him fresh for the playoffs, is there a set plan where he's going to miss five games and then you reevaluate? Or he's going to miss 2 weeks and you're going to reevaluate? Or you just check in on him every day? What's the plan to get him fresh for the playoffs?
Well, I mean, the plan is to get, so his body will tell us. And I think that he was planning on playing right now, that he would still be playing. And it was just a little bit sore. It wasn't right. He played the other night. He played very well in the first half. And, you know, but it just wasn't feeling right. So he just sat out the second half and sat out last night's game. And I don't know if he'll play tomorrow night or Sunday, but he's just taking it day by day.
Obviously, with Kyrie Irving sitting, Terry Rozier has had a chance, and he's really made the most of it. He's really taken a big step forward for you guys this year. Do you see Terry Rozier as a future starting point guard in this league?
Yeah, I mean, Terry certainly has the talent. I mean, obviously finding there's only 30 starting point guards in the NBA, so you got to find the right fit or the right team, and whether you start or not doesn't seem to really matter. I think that the most important thing is he's proven that he's a legitimate rotation player on a good team, and that's a big jump for Terry, and we're proud of his hard work, and he's worked hard to get where he's at.
In a worst case scenario, you mentioned it's unclear yet. Marcus Smart is still he's in New York getting another opinion. In a worst case scenario, if he were to miss time on top of Daniel Theis missing the rest of the year, if those guys aren't available to you in the playoffs, what does that do to your ultimate goal? What does that do to the ultimate ceiling of the team to be down a couple of players in that second unit?
Well, I mean, listen, those guys, we all know those guys have played big roles. I mean, Theis has had a fantastic year, as has Marcus Smart. He's a big, big piece of our team. Next guy up has to step up. I mean, Rozier's going to play more minutes. Marcus Morris is going to play more minutes off the bench. You know, Kyrie probably plays more minutes as a starter. And, you know, the other guys, Shane Larkin will play a role. He's been up and down health-wise this year as well. So I think that we just have to just find a way. But I think the two biggest factors are in the playoffs, your rotation shortens and guys play more minutes. And I think Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier for sure have proven that they can handle the minutes load.
You added Greg Monroe off the buyout market right around the deadline. There was discussion by a lot of people outside the organization, myself included. Maybe there would be a wing addition or some help on that second unit. Not that it's a perfect one-for-one with Marcus Smart by adding a wing, but how tempting was it to do that? And, you know, looking back at the deadline, that opportunity has come and gone. Is that something that could have been addressed?
I don't think so. You know, what was available and what were the opportunities that came along, I wouldn't do anything different right now just based on the injuries that we've had. I think that the choices were to, you know, trade a player, trade a good contract away, good young players, up-and-coming guys, you know, for over the hill type guys, and I think that we wanted to stick with our guys.
I think I may know the answer to this question, Danny, but all the injuries on your team, and it really is, I can't remember a Celtic team that's been as banged up as this one is. Does it affect how you watch games now? Are you looking more for wins and losses, or are you looking more for the maturation of the young talent to get you ready for the playoffs?
I think both. I mean, obviously you want to win. I mean, last night hurt just because we had that game, you know, in hand late. But, you know, at the same time, there's a lot more positive to take from it than not. So, yeah, we're looking for both. We're trying to teach the young guys how to win. And to be able to win. They're looking forward to those opportunities. I mean, you know, they rely on Al Horford and Kyrie Irving a lot and Marcus Smart. And, you know, now without those guys playing, they had an opportunity to go out there and try to win, not just play well, not just put up numbers, but actually try to close out the game. And I saw a lot of really exciting and positive things.
All right, here's your, every time we have you on, and since Rich is not here and he usually asks it, I'll ask it. Do you have a Gordon Hayward update? Where is he in his rehab?
Gordon is progressing in his rehab. I mean, he's doing great. I mean, he's had like one setback for a couple weeks, maybe a month and a half ago, just we were progressing a little bit too fast, we thought, so... But other than that, I mean, his work ethic and his determination has been amazing. You know, I don't want to get people's hopes up. And, you know, I mean, he still is not on the basketball court, and we have a month left in the regular season. So he's got a ways to go, but we're excited about his progress and his determination.
Danny, you just got the double team. You got a little bit of Adam Jones. You got a little bit of John Wall. Like these kids do their homework. Am I right?
Eh.
Yeah. No, Adam knows what he's talking about. Adam, you know, he's a Celtic insider.
Yeah.
This kid breaks down the film. I'll tell you that much.
That's true. I was doing that late into the night. That's true.
They put you to the fire here, Danny Ainge.
Oh, yeah, well, it was tough. You guys are rough, man.
Well, listen, it's going to be hard hitting. I got to tell you that. All right, so you watch a lot of college basketball. True?
Yes, we'll be sitting in my office. I have 4 TVs set up.
All right, Mr. Belvedere.
And we have the whole staff together. A lot of times we'll split up like we do in conference tournament time, but at NCAA tournament time, the last couple years, we have all sat as a staff and watched the games together, so it'll be a fun day in the office today. Tough life.
Yeah, there's some low and brows and wings. You got it going. All right, now give me the final four because you watch a lot of basketball. Give me the final four. I got about 3 hours to get involved.
Yeah,
in this.
BYU's not in this year, so
yeah. Give me the final four.
I think BYU lost in the NIT last night. That was tough. Okay, let's see. I think. I like Arizona.
Yep.
And I like Gonzaga. And,
yep.
You know, maybe that could be because I finished my scouting circuit out west and was watching those. I was very impressed with the depth of Gonzaga's team. And Arizona's playing at a high level, and they have one of the most dominant players in college basketball. Although bigs are easier to neutralize in college. Villanova, I think, has been consistently good. They lost some games. You know, mid-season there or late third of the season, but they're all healthy and they look like the team to beat. And then, you know, then you have Michigan State and Duke. I think the winner of that game will be in the Final Four, and I think that's a toss-up, but I'd probably lead Michigan State right now.
Yeah, Michigan State didn't look so great against Michigan in the Big Ten tournament.
Mm-mm.
Michigan's got that goofy center that went off.
You know, every single one of those teams I just mentioned had some stretches where you'd go, whoa, that does not look like a Final Four team. But over the course of the whole season, and it's a long season, I think I'll go Michigan State, Villanova, Gonzaga, Arizona.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how Michigan State's a 3 seed when they've lost 4 games the entire season, but I guess RPI is all that matters. All right. Danny Ainge, listen, you survived the gauntlet of John Wallach and Adam Jones, and for that I tip my cap to you, my friend.
All right, well...
Oh, whoops, sorry. I did something wrong. All right, go ahead, I'm sorry. I messed up. Oh, he hung up.
He thought you hung up on him.
Tell Danny Ainge I didn't hang up on him.
Just blame
Danny
me.
Ainge, Danny
blame
Ainge.
Me. Blame me, said I, say I did it.
Danny Ainge, I didn't hang up on you.
It was Jones.
It was Jones. His hot takes burned the phone off.
I didn't appreciate it.
How about you? He's saying that you know your stuff.
Yeah.
You make a promo out of that.
There it is.
He also
you throw that in the face of every jabroni out there talking nonsense.
Yeah, deal with that.
Yeah.
I sense the sarcasm right there.
I didn't sense any sarcasm.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
Think a guy who went to BYU is coming at you with some sarcasm?
I don't know.
That's a good point.
All right, here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by South Shore Bank. Boomer puts together his All Caesar sports team.
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Some good information from Danny Ainge, who I did not hang up on, but he survived the gauntlet of the Wall Man and Adam Jones.
Yeah, he ran and hung up after that. Gauntlet.
No, I hit the button that made it go like this. Well, now of course it doesn't work.
It's kind of odd.
Yeah, that's funny.
One thing we learned that Danny loves himself some Adam Jones.
He does.
Found that out.
I don't know.
He loves himself some Adam Jones.
You asked him pretty directly if he ever listened to the show in the beginning, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't think so."
He doesn't want to throw the bone right away. He wants to see how the interview goes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But he did say that they were aware before they signed Kyrie Irving that there would be some maintenance on his knee, which is interesting because...
And it's not done. I mean, he didn't shoot down that Kyrie could need a cleanup. I mean, yeah. He didn't exactly say when it's going to happen, and he made it sound like, he can do it whenever he wants, but he didn't shoot down that he needs a cleanup.
No, and his point, I guess, was it's not serious, and he can kind of do it when he wants to do it.
But he needs it.
But he, at some point, it would probably behoove him to do it. Interesting that you get Kyrie Irving, and, you still want Kyrie Irving, but you get a Kyrie Irving, and didn't he say that he knew he wouldn't play 82 games?
Yes.
He knew.
We talked to him last week about this, too, and he knows that whatever knee injury Irving has is something he's going to have to manage for the rest of his career, I believe he said last week.
Isn't that scary for a 24-year-old?
Yeah, it is.
Like, we're not talking,
a fractured kneecap.
I understand, but it's like, he needs to manage it. It's like, he's 24.
Yep.
You know, we're not talking about Pedroia. I get that Pedroia is going to have a knee issue that you got to deal with and you got to manage. He's in his 30s. Kyrie's 24 years old.
But having said all of that, I mean, first of all, the playoff schedule is such that you're not playing every day or every other day for that matter. There are usually 3 or 4 day gaps between playoff games. I want this guy. I mean, knee be damned. This is a guy I want on my team.
No one's saying that they don't want Kyrie Irving. In fact, I prefaced this all if you would listen to me.
Jones I'm more accusing than you.
All right. Well, I don't think Jones is under the impression that they shouldn't have traded for Kyrie Irving. First of all, I can't believe he's 24 years old.
Bring back Jay Crowder.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, he left after his freshman year in college.
I know, but it's just ridiculous.
He was 19 when he was in the league.
I understand that, but isn't it odd?
Yes.
Someone was like 25.
Sorry, he is, I'm double checking myself. He is 25.
Oh, okay.
Still.
Yeah.
There was some hockey player that was like 23, and it seemed like they had been in the league for 45 years.
Oh, that was an argument we had for Stamkos, I believe it was. And Stamkos was still in his 20s, because it seems like he's been around forever.
Jesus.
And we didn't have this argument this year. Now I'm going to have to go look it up again. But when we discussed Stamkos and how good he was 2 or 3 years ago, maybe it was even during the playoffs in 2011, and he was still in his 20s, and he seemed like he'd been around a long time. And I think that was the argument.
And much like Brad Stevens yesterday on Zoe and Bertrand, not committing to Marcus Smart coming back.
No, I think all that sounds... I mean, he didn't tell us one way or the other, but it doesn't sound encouraging there.
No.
What do you think that does? I'm curious where you come down on this, Fred. What do you think that does to their ceiling, losing an important piece, but a bench piece in Marcus Smart?
It seems like, if you look at everything, it seems like Marcus Smart's not a big deal. If you look at if he has the ball in his hands at the end of the game, how he ultimately will fail, it seems that it wouldn't matter. But obviously this team is, if you look at... the season, they're much better with him.
Like, if they lose early in the play, if Smart's done for the year and they lose early in the playoffs, is his absence a viable excuse?
No.
No, see, I don't think so.
I don't think he's a difference maker in that regard.
No. Not early in the playoffs. I mean, if they lose, if it's like a seven-game series against
Cleveland
Toronto.
In the second round or Toronto.
Or Toronto, then you could say they needed every healthy body they could have.
What Smart does, though, is give you depth, because the Celtics don't have two or three superstars on the team. They have one. And it just happens to be the point guard. And what Smart does is give Kyrie rest.
You've asked a couple of days in a row about whether or not Rozier is a starting point guard in the league. So Rozier can take those minutes.
He can, but Smart is part of that also. I think Smart gives the rotation rest, and it's important to have him take those 10 or 15 minutes or maybe 20 during a playoff game. I think it's very important. Over the course of a postseason, which can be very long and grueling regardless of how many days off you have between games, I think Smart's part of that. Is he directly responsible for a win or a loss in a playoff series? Maybe one game in there, but I think he really, over a long season or a long playoff run, I think he's necessary. By the way, Stamkos is only 28.
Oh, Jesus.
He's been in the league 10 years. This is his 10th season. Not only is he 28, he just turned 28 three or four weeks ago.
The young 28.
Yes.
A young 28, a youthful 28.
So he played, he was in the NHL when he was 18?
Correct. Scored 23 goals at the age of 18, in fact. 51 at the age of 19.
When I was 18, I was playing RBI in a dorm room.
Yep.
Yeah. When I was 18, I finally got a girl, and I was amazed that you could have sex whenever you wanted because there's no parents around.
He's scoring 51 goals.
Yeah.
At the age of 19. Yep. Led the league in scoring. At the age of 19,
I mentally wouldn't have been able to handle that at all. At all. I still, like, you look at Tom Brady and you're like, wow, he's younger than me. Like, you know, everyone's looking at him like this god, and I'm like, wow, this guy's like 2 years younger than me.
Huh.
I always assume I'm younger than everyone. It's a self-esteem issue.
Yeah, he seems... Is it a maturity thing?
You're
like, boy, that guy seems mature.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then you're like, wait a minute, I'm older.
And then when your team, you know, loses you get a bye, you're 9-2, and then you head into the playoffs and you lose a game.
Yep.
I mean, that makes one reflect on the frailty of life.
Did you have him sleeping in TB12 pajamas? Did you have him doing that? The sleep recovery.
I demanded no tomatoes be consumed.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question. What were you doing with diet there going into the game? Because I feel like maybe you left a little where you could have put the team over the edge. Maybe you left that on the table.
I would call timeout and I would have everyone drink a gallon of water.
And then their system's adjusted. They don't have to pee so much.
That's up to the parents. I don't know about all that. But there was a lot of hydrating.
Yeah.
No tomatoes.
No.
And just healthy living, you know? Plant-based diet, I had the kids on.
I don't think you can do much more than that as a coach.
Oh, yeah, I'm a bit of a guru. It's not just, it doesn't end on the court. It's you know, it's a teaching.
It's a lifestyle.
Everything's a teachable moment.
Yeah.
Yep. Kids, I mean, I dropped the ball last night.
Oh, so the blame's on you for the loss last night. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Good. I feel like that shifted from the first hour.
No, I took him responsible. What do you think I'm going to say? No, it's my fault.
I'd have to listen to tape, Jones.
I feel like you're putting more of it as the day's gone on. I'm not saying you were shirking responsibility, but now you're like, oh yeah, it's definitely my fault.
Oh, it's my fault. Come on,
putting more on.
Yeah, you're saying the lid. You're saying the lid was on the basket. You know,
the lid was on the basket.
Now it's all on you. I kind of get where Jones is coming from.
The lid was on the basket last night for us.
Right,
it was. There was now everyone stay in your seats, but there was a time in the game where we had six offensive rebounds on one possession.
Wow. Yes.
Couldn't get the ball in the hoop.
So that would be what ESPN SportsCenter would call a turning point. It was a close game at the time. You had six offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
You didn't score. You get two that you didn't get at the other end.
You knew it wasn't our night.
And then it was...
You knew it wasn't our night.
You look to your assistants and you go, not our night.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some kid put in a circus shot from about, you know, 15 feet out. And then you're just like, all right.
All right.
You know, the basketball gods. What are you going to do?
You said earlier you kind of challenged God and that's... He had it coming to you.
Yeah. That's right. I challenged God, and I challenged God, and God smited me.
Yep. That's how you go from 9-2 in the 3 seed to losing. Losing.
You get a bye in the first round. Yeah. I told the kids, I said, you won a playoff game. You got out of the first round.
Oh, you gave them credit for the.
I told them they played hard. Yep. They all got better.
Yeah.
I said, you got a bye in the first round. You finished the season 9-3. There's nothing to hang your head on. And I went back and I did shots of bourbon all night. Trying to ease the pain.
In the dark.
Yep.
Yeah. I turned off all the lights. Put the dog in the crate.
Whimpering.
Me and the dog just cried together. Okay, here are the headlines.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. One thing everyone can agree on is that the life of Andre the Giant is absolutely fascinating. Someone I know is related or friends with someone who is behind this Andre the Giant documentary. And he will join the show. I've been asked to have him on the show, and I am fascinated by the life of Andre the Giant. You know, how many beers was he supposed to have drank that one time at the hotel?
Oh, God. 100? Like, I mean, it was a lot.
It was over 100.
Yeah, it was over 100 beers in one night.
In one sitting.
One sitting.
What was the... that was Wade Boggs. The Sunny episode. That wasn't Andre the Giant.
The funniest thing about Wade Boggs drinking all the beers was that... Back in the, it wasn't even that long ago that they had to stop in North Dakota to refuel. Like, so to get to New York to California, you had to refuel, which gave them more time to drink.
Get a few extra beers in while you're touching down.
I don't know how you could drink that much beer. Andre the Giant off the table. But, like, I don't know how you could drink a case of beer.
When you're like Wade Boggs' size?
No, just in anyone's size. Well, Andre the Giant's
No, different. That's what I mean. Andre the Giant, you make some sense. Wade Boggs, a normal human being.
Like, I could see having like 8 beers and then doing shots, but just that much liquid in your system. I have no idea how you could do it or how you could stand it.
Yeah, and eat all the food he ate on top of it.
Yeah. He was very svelte, though.
The chicken man. He's eating chicken every day.
That's right.
Drinking beers.
Beer and chicken. You know what, Mickey Mantle, my friend made a documentary about this.
Same friend?
No, this is a different one. I got friends all over the place.
So look at all these documentary friends.
The Linwood Athletic Club. Uh-huh. Oh, this guy who did Andre Giant, ain't a friend. Friend of a friend.
Friend of a friend.
And Mickey Mantle and Billy Martin, every time they were in Detroit, would go in there and get drunk. And Mickey Mantle used to wake up with a cognac... And something drink. It was his wake up call,
like a hair of the dog type situation.
Right, he would wake up and immediately have this drink.
Nice.
And he says in the roast of the guy who owned the Linwood Athletic Club, he says that if it wasn't for the Linwood Athletic Club, he'd still be playing. And then you see him, and Billy Martin somehow stayed thin, but Mantle got puffy. Anyhow, now that I've told you about friends of mine, here is the trailer for the Andre the Giant big documentary.
Everybody remembers that moment where they first saw Andre the Giant.
It's almost like the whole room moved when he walked through the crowd. I was hooked immediately.
And then Hogan was just, there's going to be a sex tape of me being weird. But it's going to make me super rich.
He grabs me out of the chair. And he holds me up like a little doll.
He came over to me and just put his hand on my head. Keep my head warm.
The cliche of gentle giant is Andre. That's what he was.
He had this wonderful sense of humor about himself.
Andre's having a good time.
But he had a sadness, too.
People would not leave him alone.
They were making fun of him. He would cry.
He was hurting. He was really, really hurting.
There's a scene where I'm supposed to fall and he catches me. And they had to put me on cables so that he had no weight in his arms.
He knew he wasn't going to live long.
How do you replace somebody that big?
He transcended wrestling.
Well, put that on my tombstone. How do you replace someone that big? Not anything about his character.
Fred Toucher.
How do you replace him? He was super big.
Yep.
He was the guy. He knew how to create emotion, energy, drama. There's just something magical about him.
He was absolutely unique.
So apparently Andre the Giant was in consistent pain, and actually his life is kind of sad. And when him and Hogan were touring around Japan, they would get a case of wine for Andre the Giant, and he would just down a case of wine.
Like to self-medicate.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't taking pain pills or anything, but to at his size.
Is that Billy Crystal in there?
Oh, yeah.
Princess
Bride.
Mickey.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot. Princess Bride.
Huh. Yeah, well, we haven't worked with Marshall Hook for a while, because that will just throw you right in there. Inconceivable.
That's right. Right.
And when you work with Hook, the Princess Bride echoes in your head. So the Andre the Giant documentary coming out very soon. You know who I don't like?
Who's that?
I don't have my bag with me, but Dennis Quaid. What's his name? Quaid?
Yes. Dennis Quaid? Is it Dennis or Randy?
Dennis Quaid.
Randy's the one that went off the reservation and wound up living in Wyoming,
right? Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
You know why? He's got a band that he's put together.
I see.
Who do you think that he was influenced by? If you're Dennis Quaid and you have a band, yes, Dan O'Brien.
Bruce Willis.
Bruce, no. Oh. What artist?
Fish.
No.
Springsteen.
Yes. Springsteen.
Damn it.
So it's like, wow, you're in your 50s, and he's like, this is real. Like this is going to be a hit.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not. What Springsteen means is old. You're just going to put out an old-ass album. Like, and by the way, you're muscular still, so you're taking a tremendous amount of growth hormone.
Oh, is he still?
Yeah.
How old is he? He's got to be 60 by now.
Yeah.
Pretty ripped up.
He was in Breaking Away in 79.
Yes, I remember that.
So, yeah, he's got to be 60. If I'm 43...
He's got to be 60.
And you're 50?
Yep.
What'd you do for your 50th birthday?
I don't remember. It wasn't anything, like, huge.
Why didn't you throw yourself a party?
I
did for my 40th.
I didn't. Actually, for a 50th birthday party, all of us, my friends I went to high school with and me, we all went to New Orleans for the Patriots game.
Oh, that's right. So you did something. Yeah, I went to Milwaukee.
Yeah? You win.
Yeah.
I went to New Orleans, but I wish I could have been in Milwaukee.
I went to Milwaukee. I went to a Brewers game. I figured I'd never be in Milwaukee again.
Me, I just toured Bourbon Street, went to the Patriots and Saints.
You go down the slide?
No, they didn't offer that to me.
No.
Hey, it's my birthday.
Let me do the slide.
Hey, it's my birthday. I kind of want to do the slide. What do you think?
And then that mug full of beer. Dennis Quaid is 63 years young.
Yeah.
He's on his third marriage. He has three children, two, he's got like adult children, you know, he doesn't care about no more. But then he's got, with his second wife, he's got young children.
He's a rambling man.
Ryan, right?
Yeah.
He was married to Meg Ryan.
Yes. Yeah. And then he has a baby with his current wife.
Good Lord.
Who is much younger than him. Apparently she's an Instagram sensation. But hey, if you're in a cool band at 63, who's putting out an album that was... influenced by Bruce Springsteen. What could go wrong?
It's hard living. Hard living out on the road.
Well, he said, I sold my place in Montana, and everyone said, you're out of your mind. This was such a part of you. And he said, not so fast. I could go to Italy and be waited on hand and foot for a month.
What?
He said that for the price of the ranch in Montana, he go to Italy for a month and be waited on hand and foot or whatever the term is.
You buy that?
So that's Dennis Quaid. Care for him. Read the profile in Men's Journal.
An expensive ranch.
You know why I get Men's Journal?
Why?
No.
All the ideas for $5,000 camping equipment. That's why you get Men's Journals or like a $4 million bike.
Was it paddleboard? Did you get the idea for the paddleboard from Men's Journal?
No, Chris Chelios. Okay. Chris Chelios used to paddleboard in Malibu. In fact, when I got my first paddleboard, you could only get them in Hawaii.
Ah.
And they were like $500.
So you bought two of them?
I bought one, and then we enjoyed it enough that I got another one, but I never took it out of the wrapper, and then I sold it to someone.
Okay.
I was going to go to Crystal Lake and just chill, but it never happened.
When you sold the paddleboard, could you go get waited on hand and foot in Italy? No, you get that kind of payday.
No,
for
I took
it?
A, took a little hit on that.
Went to Dunkin' Donuts. Went to Dunkin' Donuts instead.
Yeah, they weren't so cute anymore. But yeah, there was, by the time I sold the paddleboard, they weren't exactly out of the world. They were.
I'm a breakfast wake up wrap. Thank you.
They started selling them at Toys R Us at that point. We'll be back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Kutcher and Ritt.
The Sports Hub. We are Kutcher and Rich. So what did we learn today? We've learned that...
I just learned something new I was unaware of right before we came back from break.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
That Vinny Paz at one point was engaged to Saugus' own adult film star, Tyler Faye.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, get on the ball. If you're not going to, you know, if you're part of the New England, you got to know about Tyler Faye. So we learned that Danny Ainge was aware of Kyrie Irving's
knee.
Yep. We learned that I'm flip-flopping all over the place, that I'm a big flip-flopper with the Garoppolo thing.
Right, and you hate the Patriots, yep.
Yep, we've learned that I am getting a private investigator, and I'm finding out who some of these Twitter people are.
See, I've learned that people are willing to chip in and help you in this endeavor.
See, I think you buried the lead. I think that's the lead today, I think.
Yeah. So, and I've had several private investigators ensure me that I will be able to find out who these people are.
Excellent.
So, here is another private investigator right here. I think it. I think it all starts with that guy, the producer of the Keefe show.
You're on to him because he was.
I think he's got a history of this stuff.
He had a thing for Chucky Burks.
Yeah, he was texting over here.
Yeah,
And we found it out.
How did they solve that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But they found out it was that guy.
It was a private investigator.
I think he's behind some of these Twitter accounts. I can't say. No, I'm dead serious. It starts with him.
I'll learn his lesson.
Once you're a rat, you're always a rat. It's Hardy and Zolak. They're at the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn. Where's Woburn?
It's up 128.
Yeah, it's up 128.
So
yeah.
Next town over from Burlington?
Yes. Yeah. Would you stop eating, please? I swear to God.
Trying to get breakfast in for
the
show.
Okay, well, eat during a break, please. So not now.
This is like, Zoe, do you do this every year? Because I've been at the Scoreboard with Zoe before.
So is DA.
During March.
The DA stories are legendary.
No, but during March Madness, I've been there, and they feed Zoe. Like they just kept bringing food over for Zoe like you read about.
They have delightful breakfast here. They have a buffet. Obviously, it is the Scoreboard attached to the Crown Plaza here, and they've totally renovated this place. I'll tell you what, it's an awesome place to come with your buddies for liquid lunch, and the amount of TVs, the massive TVs that we have behind us, like a wall of TVs, perfect spot to watch the NCAA tournament.
Now, are you going to drink today?
No, of course not.
Why not?
It's like a long ride home, like an hour and 15
minutes. Yeah, it's like an air.
What?
An air. It sounds like an air in 15 minutes.
How about this?
Like Major.
Major. Yeah. He went Pittsburgh on the people.
Did you guys figure out that, I saw you talking about the Twitter thing yesterday, that you could see people, who they follow and all that? Is that what you were talking about, Fred?
Oh, that was a topic yesterday, yeah.
Troop was following all those women.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Now, Hardy, you have an explanation, you think, why Troop was following all the women.
Why was he doing that?
Yeah, I believe that he just automatically followed back like people do on Facebook. And it's like, you know, once these bots start following you and then if you follow back, you know, there's algorithms, there's math involved, there's technology.
No.
And yeah, they start targeting people and, you know, he's just trying to be a good guy and like follow people back. And that's what happened.
So you don't think that he was unaware that they were robots?
It was an innocent mistake.
You don't think he was unaware that they were robots and actually thought that all these attractive women were interested in him?
No, it was pretty selective. I mean, they were like,
unaware. I don't think he bothered to click on the profiles of the people who followed him. Oh, he started following you.
That's okay. Nice
follow you back.
That's nice of you to say.
He views all fans the same way. It doesn't matter what they look like.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
And even though there was an awful lot of them. But
nice.
That's it. Listen, I'll tell you what. Hardy is nothing if not loyal.
Brazzers doesn't say, hey.
How does Brazzers
how
make
about a
money?
Follow back? You have to seek them out.
Like, who would pay for Brazzers?
Mark Feldman? Do you want his login?
Mass?
He gave it to me like years ago.
Mass?
I'm like, dude, I'm not logging on to it. He's like, no, dude, I got a username, password. Here it is.
Yeah, we got a free password for Chatterbait, which is now Mr. Skin owns it.
What is that?
It is a site where you, you're like, you can talk to the woman. You can like ask her to do stuff.
Okay. Now, Fred, you've had Mr. Skin on for years.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And I always heard him, and he's always been over the phone whenever I've heard him, and he sounds like a creepy guy. I saw him on Zoe, one of our favorite shows, Below Deck. He came on with the crew on Below Deck. He's like a handsome guy.
Yeah,
and when he opens his mouth, like, the creep factor just goes through the roof.
Oh, my God. I could sit there all night and watch.
How's this guy carry himself so well and look so good? And then he's like, yeah, there's our mammary awards. Thanks for the mammaries. So check out Muriel Hemingway in the film The Mean Season. There's a shower scene 18 minutes and 30 seconds in, and you get a nip slip later on in the film. Like, oh, come on.
Well, we have that Bible that he wrote about all, like, every nude scene in the history of the the Skinpedia or whatever it is. And if you pick that, if you're ever in the Jock Lounge, just pick it up and just go to a random page and you'll laugh your ass off. It's fantastic.
Yeah. He said, and I guess he's got his mother working for him now, too, which, again, just the creep factor.
Yeah. It's all softcore stuff.
Speaking of creeps, hey, we're here at the Scoreboard, and this is where DA
yes.
Yes.
Right. Run DA shows.
Yes.
And the stories are legendary. The poor waitresses, the women that said they would have extra hours, they would stay inside the kitchen to avoid him.
Yes.
Would
you please step in some rice?
He would introduce himself, shake hands with them, but they said he would never let go of the hand.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And it got a little weird.
Ooh, you seem to be on your feet all day. How about you take off one of those shoes?
So now you have rice in between your toes.
Yes, indeed. Whoops, I seem to have spilled my fries. Perhaps you stump them.
Stump all the shit.
Oh. Is that guy doing, like, national radio now, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw him at the Super Bowl. We had a nice chat.
Yeah. Yes, it chatted you up and had a mirror on my shoe. All right.
He was upskirting me?
Oh, man. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Trying to see up my pant leg?
Jones, your thoughts?
Well, the mirror is not there just for you, Hardy. That's pretty, honestly, that's a pretty conceited thing to think that was just for you.
Someone's very vain.
Yeah, seriously.
Yes, in Minnesota, perhaps take off the shoes and step in the snow. All right.
Brought some mugs for you.
Why don't you get this skunk in some distress and spray on your feet? All right, very good.
Thank you.
You guys enjoy yourselves.
We will.